Turn your Bibles with me, please, this morning to the book of Numbers and the 22nd chapter, Numbers chapter 22. I hope you're enjoying some of the new psalms that we're singing. I'm not trying to confuse everybody by choosing ones that are not known, but it is good for us to expand our repertoire, I guess, as we'd put it, in our Psalter. Pastor Keith gave me his copy of the Psalter and his copy of the two hymnals in which he had written the dates when each song was sung, which is very helpful to me to know what you know and what you don't know, but we're trying to learn some new ones as well. Numbers chapter 22, and I'll begin reading with the first verse. And the children of Israel sent forward and pitched in the plain of Moab on this side Jordan by Jericho. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, Now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as an ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak the son of Zippor was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messengers therefore to Balaam the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, Behold, there is a people come out of Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth. And they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure, I shall prevail that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that whom thou blessest is blessed, and whom thou cursest is cursed. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand. And they came to Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. And he said unto them, Lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. And God came unto Balaam and said, What men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak, the son of Zippor, the king of Moab, hath sent unto me, saying, Behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, Thou shalt not curse them. Thou shalt not curse these people, for they are blessed. And Balaam arose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, Get ye to your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak, and said unto him, Balaam refuseth to come with us. And Balak sent again yet princes more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam, and said unto him, Thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, Let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. For I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now therefore, I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. And God came unto Balak at night and said unto him, If the men come and call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon an ass, and his two servants that were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards of a wall, vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with his staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, "What have I done unto thee? Thou hast smitten me these three times." And Balaam said unto the ass, "Because thou hast mocked me, I would that there were a sword in my hand, for I would kill thee." And the ass said unto Balaam, "Am not I thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do this unto thee?" And he said, "Nay." And the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, "Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me." And the ass saw me, and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now I had slain thee and saved her alive. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again." And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, "Go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that shall they speak." So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. And when Balak heard that Balaam was come, he went out to meet him under the city of Moab, which is in the border of Arnon, which is in the utmost part of the coast. And Balak said unto Balaam, "Did not I earnestly send unto thee to call thee? Wherefore camest thou not unto me? Am I not able to promote thee to honor?" Balaam said unto Balak, "Lo, I am come unto thee. Have I now any power at all to say anything? The words that God putteth in my mouth, that shall I speak." So Balaam went unto Balak, and they came unto Kirjath-Huzoth. And Balak offered oxen and sheep, and sent to Balaam and to the princes that were with him. And it came to pass on the morrow that Balak took Balaam and brought him into the high place of Baal, that thence he might see the utmost part of the people. Let's bow for prayer together this morning. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God of mercy, that you are a God of grace. Lord, that you are long-suffering with your disobedient children. Father, this morning, teach us by thy word. May your Spirit impart grace to our hearts. May our eyes ever be open. May we ever be sensitive to the voice of the Spirit of God. Bless us, your people, this day. In Jesus' name, amen. This book of Numbers records the journeying of the children of Israel from the time that they left Mount Sinai, when the law was given, up until they came to the borders of Canaan. At this time, they are still on the other side, Jordan. They're across from Jericho, but on the other side. The people have sinned. They sinned at Kadesh Barnea, and their sin was a sin of unbelief. God had told them he would give them the land, but they said, "Oh, the people are too mighty for us." And because of their sin of unbelief, God condemned all the adults, those 20 years and over that had left Egypt, all of them, to perish in the wilderness, except for Joshua and for Caleb, and at this time, Moses as well. But no, Moses later would sin himself, and he would be forbidden to enter into the land. But in spite of the fact that they had not yet crossed the Jordan and not yet come into the land of Canaan itself, it doesn't mean there were no battles. There were several battles fought on this side of Jordan. Remember when they were fighting Moab, and Aaron and Hur held up the arms of Moses until the battle was won. This is a very fascinating book. We find here that the elders of the people, that Balak and the elders of Moab and the elders of the Midianites, know of this prophet, this one Balaam. And they call for Balaam to come and curse the people of God, to curse those whom God has blessed. Because if Balaam curses them, they'll be cursed. If he blesses them, they will be blessed. This Balaam is a fascinating character. And I think I've told you before that I can pretty much time out my sermons. If I've got 3 to 4 pages of notes, it's good for about 45 minutes. I've got 8 this morning. So we're going to go through some of this quickly. But there's a lot of meat and a lot of fascinating biblical facts behind this man, Balaam. There is evidence that Balaam was a descendant of Ammon, who was one of the illegitimate sons of Lot through Lot's incestuous relationship with his daughter. That would mean that Balaam would be a relative to the family of Abraham, but not of of Israel. Okay? Terah had 3 sons, Abraham, Haran, and Nahor. Okay? Haran died as a young man. His son Lot, the nephew of Abraham, is cared for by Lot. Lot has 2 children with his own daughters, and these 2 sons are the fathers of the Moabites and the Amorites. Okay? Then on the other side, you have Abraham. Abraham had 3 wives. We know a lot of Sarah, who was the father of Jacob, father of Isaac, whose children were Jacob and Esau, Jacob's name later being changed to Israel. And so when we talk about the children of Israel, it is Abraham's line through Isaac, through Jacob, but Esau being set aside. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. But Abraham also had a wife, or a concubine, named Hagar. And Hagar is the father of Ishmael. But then after Sarah died, Abraham marries again. And Abraham has 6 more sons through his marriage to Keturah. And Midian was one of those 6 sons through Keturah. And there's also commentators that believe that Balak was a Midianite. But in either case, he is one who had firm knowledge of the God Jehovah, and yet he did not have the blessing of Abraham. Now, if I've thoroughly confused you there, I'm sorry, but that fascinates me. Because you see all these inner workings and the background behind these scriptures that are so relevant to the text and can teach us so much about the character of this man. He knew who Jehovah God was. And he says, I cannot go beyond the Lord my God. And the Lord there is Jehovah, it is Yahweh. I cannot go beyond the word of God. And yet at the same time, this Balaam is a soothsayer. He's a fortune teller. He's a charlatan. He's a fraud. In Joshua chapter, I've got the reference here for you if you're taking notes. Joshua 13, verse 22, he's referred to as a soothsayer. And that word soothsayer is a word for a diviner. And remember when King Saul had the blessing of God removed from him and God was no longer speaking to King Saul and Samuel was dead And Saul wants to communicate with Samuel, and so Saul goes to the witch of Endor, and he says to the witch of Endor, "Bring me up, divine for me, whosoever I shall name to you." Well, that word divine there is the same word soothsayer. And when Samuel comes up for the witch of Endor, she's surprised because she knows she didn't bring him up. And so in this man Balaam, you have a mix of prophecies which are fulfilled, and that was one of the qualifications to know if a prophet was true or not. If his word came to pass, he was a true prophet. And yet he's got this homogenization of paganism, and you know, we go down the road and we see people with their fortune teller sign out. That's how he made his living. And so this one, Balaam, he would name the name of Jehovah and say, "Jehovah's my God," and yet we find later that he caused Israel to sin. And in the book of Revelation, he's condemned to the church of Pergamos because he led the children of Israel into wickedness. He's mentioned three times in the New Testament, and all three times the mention of Balaam is condemned, is a condemnation. And we find finally that when Israel kills all the male Midianites, they kill Balaam along with him. And that's the end of Balaam. So a fascinating character and much instruction to be gained by looking at his background and looking at the history of this man. Now coming to the seventh verse of the chapter we read, we find the first time that temptation is put in front of this man, Balaam. There we read that the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand. In other words, they had their money to pay the fortune teller. They had the means by which to reward him for predicting or for cursing, whatever they wanted to do. So they come with the rewards of divination in their hand, and they spake unto Balak, to Balaam, and spake unto him the words of Balak. And look what he says. He says, "Lodge here this night," this is in verse 8, "and I will bring you word again as the Lord speak unto me." And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. And so Balaam knew that he could go to the Lord and he could get an answer, that the Lord would respond to his inquiry. But we have to keep in context the fact that Balaam knew who these people were. He knew his relationship to them, and he knew that God had blessed them. And in this first time that we find Balaam tempted, we have to pause and ask, did he really need to ask God what to do in this situation? Or did he know instinctively, no, this is not good, this is evil, this is what I must do. Avoid. How often do we face temptation and we know right from wrong? We know the thing that our flesh wants to do is wrong, but oh Lord, please let me do this. Lord, you know it's really what I want. I know I shouldn't do this, but oh, how these rewards of divination appeal to my flesh. How wonderful it would be if the Lord would just simply let me enjoy this thing that looks like so much fun. And you see, that is where Balaam's downfall began. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And so in verse 9, "And God came unto Balaam and said unto him, What are these men with you?" Do you ever consider the questions that God asked man? There's a lot of them in Scripture, and they're fascinating. So it's an amazing study to study the times that God asked man questions. Does God ever ask a man a question so that God can get some information? No, you see, when God asks a man a question, it's just like saying to your child, "What are those crumbs on your face?" You see, the question points the one who is questioned to their sin. Balaam, why are you even asking this? Who are these men? You see, the men were God's men. The men who came were not God's men. The men who came were evil men, but they were coming to attack God's people. They were coming to bring a curse upon God's people. Who are these people? God knew exactly who they were. Balaam said unto God that Balak, the son of Zippor, the king of Moab, have said unto me, there's a people come up out of Egypt. And in verse 12, God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse them, or not curse the people, for they are blessed. And Balaam arose in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, get ye to your own land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. So even though he kind of cracked the shell a bit, Balaam has come through this first temptation fairly well. Get out of here. Go to your own land. Leave. God will not let me do this thing. But there's a second temptation. In verse 14, and the princes of Moab rose up, and they went to Balak and said, Balaam refuseth to come with us. And Balak sent unto the princes, and Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said unto him, thus saith Balak, the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me, for I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. Balaam, look who's coming now. Boy, this bunch is driving Rolls Royces. Look at the chariot they're coming in. Ah, look at those horses. These are honorable princes. These are people that, you know, I'd like to get my picture taken with them. Of course, I'm being sarcastic, but you get the picture. Look at these men that are coming. These are honorable men. And they're bringing a lot more wealth with them. I could have the houses full of gold and silver. Lord, please let me do this. Let me see what God will say again. Had God answered the question? Yes, God had. Where does promotion come from, Balaam? Well, Psalm 75, verses 6 and 7, promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Have you ever been in a situation where there was a promotion on the line, but you'd have to lie to get it? Ever been in a situation where there was a lot of wealth to be gained, and yet you kind of had to be slippery to get in there? And God has already spoken. God has told us not to lay up treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt. God has told us that He will exalt those that follow Him and He will condemn those that rebel. We know what to do. Ah, but when the temptation comes the second time, oh, how we start to slip. How we start to give in. Verse 18, and Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of gold and silver, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do more or less. Sounds pretty good. Verse 19. Now therefore I pray you take... Wait, guys. Hold on. Now therefore I pray you, tarry ye here also this night, that I may know what the Lord will say to me more. I know it's the wrong thing, but don't take the temptation out of the way. I know I shouldn't look at that, but don't shun it. Flee also youthful lust. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill it in the lust thereof. The first time he said, get out of here. Go on to your own country. Leave. The second time he said, just hang around a little bit. Let me talk to God again. Maybe I can get permission. Maybe the Lord will give me leave to go. God had already told Balaam what to do the first time. And God said in Genesis 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And in this shall all the families of earth be blessed. And so in verse 20, and God came to Balaam at night and said unto him, if these men call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shall they do. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. It does not appear that the princes came and called Balaam again in the morning. And God's judgment on Balaam to follow would support that understanding of the text. You see, the first time he threw the temptation away, resist the devil and he will flee from you. But the second time he kept the temptation close at hand. Ah, he wanted the rewards of divination. He wanted to do what he knew God had forbidden. And so instead of pushing the temptation away, spend the night here, fellas. And God said, if they call you, you can go with them, but you're going to say what I tell you to say. And Balaam says, there's my crack. There's my excuse. And he got up and he saddled his ass and went with them. But even while we find Balaam in rebellion, and rebellion is the sin of witchcraft, and soothsaying would be a form of witchcraft itself. But even as Balaam is in rebellion against God, we find a marvelous account of the mercy of God on rebellious Balaam. Look at verse 22. And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass and his two servants with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass and turned her again into the way. Notice it says that the angel of the Lord was standing in the way, verse 22, as an adversary. My friend, you may have many adversaries, and there's always going to be somebody that doesn't like us for one reason or another, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Doesn't mean we go out and try to make the world hate us, but if the world hate you, know that it hated me before it hated you. But here the angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ, we know that this is a Christophany, an appearance of Christ, because when Balaam falls down before him in worship, the angel does not say, don't worship me. An angel will not accept worship. And so this is a Christophany, a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ, standing with his sword drawn, and he's standing there as an adversary. He's standing there as the opponent of Balaam. But that word adversary is a fascinating word. We could spend a whole hour talking about just that one word, because the word adversary here, its interpretation is one who stands in the way. Exactly what Christ is doing here. He is standing in the way to prevent Balaam from cursing God's people. And remember the promise that God had given to Israel that he would send his angel before them. And where is Israel when this is all taking place? They're in the wilderness. They're in an undefended position where they can be attacked from all sides, and the kings of Midian and Amnon, or Moab, are out to get them. And yet Christ is standing there as the adversary of Balaam on behalf of his people. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. And if you look down to verse 32, and the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee. And that word withstand in verse 32 is the same word adversary up in verse 22. Let me ask you this question. Is it possible that a donkey turning out into the field can thwart the will of God? Was Balaam spared simply because his donkey saw the angel of the Lord and Balaam didn't? No. There is mercy in judgment here. The turning of the ass could not possibly prevent the angel of the Lord from carrying out his mission. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord, and the prophet did not. In Exodus 23, I've referred to this passage already, but let me read it for you briefly. In Exodus 23, starting in verse 20, behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I prepared for thee. Beware of him and obey him. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then will I be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee in, bring thee to the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, and the Canaanites. And so we find Balaam delivered from judgment the first time. But he continues on his way. He smites, he hits the ass and continues on his way. And then in verse 24, but the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyard, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord, and she thrust herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. Balaam's delivered a second time. And then there's a third deliverance from judgment. Verse 26. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to go to turn either to the right hand or to the left hand. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with his staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would that there were a sword in my hand, for I would kill thee. The mercy of God given, and the response of the recipient of the mercy is anger. And God opens the ass's mouth. And you notice the title of the message today is, Will the Donkey Have to Speak? How many times have we been the recipients of merciful judgment? How many times have we been deserving of the sword of the angel of the Lord to smite us through the midst? And we've been the recipient of mercy. And yet, how many times have we fought against the very mercy of God? I've been your ass since the time I was young. Have I ever done anything like this before? And notice also the hardness of sin. Does it seem strange to anyone else that Balaam is not surprised when the donkey speaks? And does it seem stranger still that he answered? The donkey says, "Why are you doing this?" And Balaam answers him. You see, sin will blind us to the mercy of God that's all around us. Yielding to temptation puts calluses on the soul. And it's good to have calluses on the sole of your feet, but not to have calluses on the soul. Two different souls totally. Ah, may God teach us to be of a tender spirit, that when our ass turns out of the way, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? Lord, where have I erred from thy way? To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Ah, may God make us sensitive that the first sign of judgment, we flee to the cross. You see, the angel of the Lord was standing there preventing Balaam from sin. And when the angel of the Lord corrected him through the agency of the dumbass, he still rebelled. He still turned away. In verse 30, "And the ass said unto Balaam, Am not I thine ass? Am I not the one that has served you faithfully? Why do you smite me?" And so first God opens the ass's eyes, but it sees the angel three times. And then God opens the ass's mouth, that it speaks to Balaam. But then finally, God opens Balaam's eyes. And in verse 31, then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, "Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. Because of your sin, I have come for judgment, and yet in judgment I have shown you mercy these three times." Is there one here today that deserves to be here? Is there one here today who should not be in hell right now? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. Ah, my friend, we dwell in the marvelous mercy of the angel of the Lord. God has been patient with his people. And the angel of the Lord says that the ass saw me and turned from me these three times, and unless she had turned, I had surely slain thee and saved her alive. Lamentation 3, verses 22 and 23. "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Proverbs 3, verse 11 and 12. "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." Hebrews 12, verses 5 through 8. "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons." Revelation 3, verses 19 through 20. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, I will open the door and will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. And that's one of those verses that is so broadly misused in the world today, in the church today. It's not talking about God standing at the heart of a sinner saying, "Let me in, let me in, let me in, please." But rather, God is saying to the disobedient believer, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I will come into him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. If you will repent of your sin, believer, I will receive you, and we will have fellowship one with another. We will sup one with another. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." If we confess our sins, that same chapter, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so Balaam says, "Okay, Lord. All right, Lord." Verse 22. "I'll go back. I'll go back if it please you." And God says, "No, you're going to go ahead, but you're not going to curse. You're going to bless. You're going to bless. You're going to bless." And so Balaam goes with the priest of Moab and the Midianites, the elders of Moab and the Midianites, and blesses the people of God. And in his blessing, there was a marvelous prophecy of the coming of Christ. Brethren, friends, will the donkey have to speak? How far down the road of disobedience will we go? Remember back to the first temptation. We saw two temptations and then three deliverances from judgment. Ah, if Balaam had have stuck with the first one, "Get ye to your land. I cannot go with you because the Lord has forbidden me." Will the donkey have to speak? Let's stand for prayer. Our Father, we thank you for your word today. Lord, we thank you for these fascinating, marvelous stories that so intrigue our minds and make us want to study more and learn the ins and outs and the nuances. But, oh Father, that intriguing of the mind is not profitable to the soul. And so, Father, may we not today be as those that behold our face in a glass, in a natural face in a glass, and go away forgetting what manner of men we are. But, O Lord, today, may your Spirit take your word and impress it deeply within our hearts. Father, may we be improved in grace today. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. Increase our faith. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Teach our hearts to take heed to thy word. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name.